Hello, everybody, and welcome to the War Room. This one is for this weekend's UFC main event, a middleweight clash between Roman Dolidze and Nassourdine Imavov. Now, this has the potential to be a very good fight. Both of these guys have got great striking skill sets. They're both very fluid in their movement, both good at kicking, both good at boxing, both can fight under pressure and fight with pressure. Great. My one concern is that it could potentially slow down in the clinch. We've seen some slow fights, certainly at times where we've had just a lot of kind of body lock holding and not a great deal happened. I remember Stauropoli being very frustrated after the fight with Dolidze because he felt like more could have happened. And, you know, the commentators were saying the same thing. In fact, Bisping and Cruz were about to get into it at one point because Bisping was saying he needs to do more. He can sometimes get kind of stuck in a bit of a safe zone, especially if he's got someone that's willing to open up. But what's interesting about Dolidze, and I'll come back to Taylor the Tape in a second. What's interesting about Dolidze, if you go back to his UFC debut, what was his name? Ibrahimov. Let me just get it right. Kadys Ibrahimov. He did a great job of fighting at distance, stinging his opponent with kicks, switching his stance. He was having a great time. He was grinning a lot of the time. And the thing that ended up knocking his opponent out was a kick that his opponent had tried to close down. It reminded me a lot of the Marlon Moraes, Aljamain Sterling head kick, which was kind of a repurposed head kick that became a knee and just caught him as he was moving in. Was it? I get these mixed up. It was Aljo because the Moraes threw the, I'm talking to Jamie past the camera. I'm not ignoring you here. What was it? It was the Jimmy Rivera one and the Aljo one were almost identical, but it was the same kick that was thrown. But no, the Aljo one was a knee, wasn't it? Because he closed the distance. Yeah. It was. It looked very much like that because he was stinging his opponent with kicks and he was turning his hip in beautifully as well. And as his opponent tried to close distance, he ate this knee right on the face as he closed him down. Now, after that, he had two fights. He had the Ibrahimov fight, and then he went in to fight John Allen as well. Some good exchanges in that one. Beautiful body lock to take down to ankle lock attacks. He's got loads of different entries into ankle locks. I mean, you remember what he did to Jack Hermanson, getting tangled up with the calf slicer. There's an upside and a downside to attacking those ankles, as you know. It's almost like trying to defuse a bomb. I always feel like you've got a certain amount of time before you're just going to get your face pounded in. And this is where I think we might have a very interesting ground exchange if it gets there. So Dolidze is very good at fighting on the outside, and he's also very good at moving through range and getting body locks and working a fluid submission attack from his takedowns. Earlier on in his fights, he looked a little bit reckless in the boxing range. And what I will say is that he's improved that tremendously in his last few fights, particularly Kyle Daukaus, Jack Hermanson. You know, great fights, great performances, good solid boxing skills. Phil Hawes, of course, as well. And he seems to have really settled down in this range. Now it's almost gone the opposite way. And if I think back to the Marvin Vettori fight, he threw almost no kicks in that fight, and it made it a little easier for Vettori, but who was fighting a very smart fight in that fight, kind of backing up and picking at him as he was moving on. I felt like if we'd have seen more of the kicking game from Dolidze that we saw in his early UFC fights, then he would have been able to get to Vettori more with his hands as well. He just seemed too adamant to be in boxing range, and maybe it's because now he's starting to put people down with them. Maybe he feels like he has a lot of success at this range, so this is where he's going to spend most of his time. But this is a fight that he could do a lot of damage from the outside against Imavov. So Imavov, obviously, you know, was training at the MMA factory. He's got that very kind of Cyril Gann fluid bouncing in and out of range. Really, really slick to watch him strike, especially when he starts to cruise into range when he feels like he's got his opponent hurt. Who was it? I mean, Shabazzian, but he was, you know, anytime he closes someone down, he's starting to tee off. He just looks so relaxed and so in his moment. The one weakness that I would say about his game, and this changes depending on what footwork he's using, because of course he starts off with that really nice kind of bouncing in and out, stings his opponent, moves out of range, will drift from one stance to another, stings his opponent, makes it very difficult to catch him. But because he's moving in from outside of a range, if he's got someone that's quite happy to eat up his lead leg, he tends to find himself moving on to a hard low kick sometimes. And I've not seen him have a great deal of answers for low kicks. Now, Dolidze's got a good kicking game generally, and if he invests in that lead leg, he's going to be able to take some of the movement away from Imovov. That would be the first priority for me if I was Dolidze. I'd want to take away that fluidity and that spring. Because for me, Dolidze is a good striker, but he's not quite as fluid as Imovov. He's a bit more hard-headed. He'll hard check low kicks and he'll trade kick for kick, and he likes to get into the scrap a little bit. Whereas Imovov although he doesn't mind scrapping absolutely, he would much rather be a clean striker and stay out of the range and sting and pick at his opponents. So I'd want to take that away from him first and foremost. And the easiest way for Dolidze to do that would be to take that lead leg away. Now, if we get a performance from Dolidze like we saw against Vettori, then Imovov has got his full skill set. He might be the kicker, working at distance and chipping away at Dolidze, and then walking him onto punches off the back of that. I think their striking matches up quite well, but I think it comes down to who's going to use the diversity in their skill set, because I feel like they've both got it, but I also feel like they can both get kind of drawn into a let me prove myself to you in this range. For Dolidze, I feel like it's because he's been having success with his hands. He's been able to land some clean shots and really do a lot of damage with one single punch. For Imovov, he has this like an excitement and an emotion sometimes that takes over him. Like we saw it when he fought in Paris. What card was that? Against Buckley, and you know, really really fun fight to watch. Great pressure fighting. But certainly at times in that fight, he left himself open in situations where Dolidze might be able to crack him with a counter punch, might be able to get a body lock and start to tangle him up and try and drag him to the floor. Let me just go to Taylor the Tape quick. I'm just going to jump back because I want to get onto their takedowns and their takedown defense, because that's where, for me, this could get quite interesting and a little bit chaotic, because Dolidze's takedown defense stat is not very good. Compared to Imovov, whose takedown defense is pretty good. But then because Dolidze loves submissions so much and he throws so many at you, he might find himself in bad positions where Imovov is going to make a smarter decision and start to control and beat him up. You start to see that wrestling heritage coming out of Imovov just a little bit sometimes, when he's able to weight his hips into his opponent and bind their legs up. And with Dolidze having he's very very adamant with his leg attacks, he does tend to leave himself sometimes open. Like I said, it's like trying to defuse a bomb. You're there, you're counting down, I've got to get this heel in the right position, I've got to get control of their leg so I can torque their knee against their hips and do damage to the ligaments. And then as you're doing this, you've got someone going tick tuck, tick, and you can only take so many of those shots. And also, you've got to bear in mind, not only is it difficult to get a heel hook in the right position when you've got someone that's trying to defend it, but when you add punches into the equation as well, you might be getting mildly concussed at the same time as trying to remember that you're even doing a heel hook. So that's something, that's an area where Imovov could potentially, if they move straight through the body lock range, where I feel like Dolidze could be problematic, and we move into the grappling range, we're going to find Imovov on top position using ground and pound. And that's probably where he's going to find his easiest route to victory, if I'm honest. Even though Dolidze's got good submission attacks and he can be very, very problematic, he does tend to opt for inversions. He does tend to go for arm bars from guard in positions where he can be stacked and trapped. And knowing Imovov likes to work up against the fence in those clinch positions, if they find themselves in these scrambling attacks, you've got to assume that they're going to be quite close to the fence, which is really going to favour Imovov. Okay, little peppermint tea. So, Both of these guys written. In fact, I've got it written down here. It's probably easier. So Dolidze, 12-2 is his record. 7 knockouts on his record. 3 submissions. So he's got a high finishing capability. 2 heel hooks and a rear naked choke. His heel hooks were earlier on in his career. I don't think he's had anything. Yeah, his first 2 fights. In fact, all submissions are his first 3 fights. All first round. heel hook, rear naked choke. On the other side, Nassadin Imavov, 12 wins and 4 losses with that 1-0 contest, the clash of heads. 5 knockouts, 4 submissions. So again, high finishing capability. 2 rear naked chokes, a Brabo and a Kimura. I feel like the submissions of Nassadin Imavov are maybe more tailored towards MMA. I feel like he's going to choose to apply a submission in a position where an opponent has already been beaten up a little bit, whereas Dolidze is going to invert and chase ankles when on a fresh opponent. That's where you've got to kind of weigh up the benefit benefit and drawback analysis. I don't feel like that's accurate. Benefit and something. Anyway, you get the point. In those situations, you've got to determine. And it was funny because I in no way am I criticizing, but his corner man said to him, "Don't go for the heel hook unless you're going to get it," which don't make a lot of sense because you're not going to get a heel hook unless you go for it. But you're going to tend to go for a heel hook and probably not get it most of the time. You've got to weigh up in that situation whether you're going to be able to grab a heel hook quick enough to be able to do the damage to the knee like he did against Buckley. You remember, you've got to be confident that you can control and keep your opponent away from you for long enough to be able to secure this heel hook without taking too much damage. Like I said, it's a time bomb type of situation. And Dolidze leaves himself in those positions a lot of the time. And I feel like Imavov will certainly make the MMA decision and go, hang on a minute, I can sprawl here, I can stack, I can elbow, I can punch. As far as height and reach, I mean, there's an inch in it. It's not even really worth mentioning. 6'2 to him, 6'3 to Imavov, 6'2 to Dolidze. The inch reach advantage goes to Dolidze at 76 to 75. Dolidze's never been stopped. And I do think, to be honest, that even though this is a 5-round fight, and he is new to 5-round fights from what I remember, He seemed to look like he was coming on a bit stronger against Vettori in that third round. So it bodes quite well for him, I think. Because especially now he's down at this weight class. You know, he started off at light heavyweight, didn't he? Then he moved down to middleweight for Trevin Giles, yeah. One of the benefits of moving down a weight class, of course, is that you're not carrying that additional weight that you potentially don't need to. The other benefit, I mean, there's a list. I could give you a bunch. The people that you're up against are potentially not as big or as strong as the people in the weight class that you're left above. The other benefit, which sometimes goes unconsidered, is that you have to do something to get that weight off, right? You have to do treadmill work or bike work or something. You build up your base level of conditioning fairly well by accident just because you've got to get the weight off. So when you tend to see someone moving down weight classes, unless they're doing it in a very risky way and they're just trying to drop weight quickly, if they're doing it properly, like a Jared Cannonier did, for example, or, you know, Roman Dolidze when he moved down to middleweight, you can see he took the weight off in the correct way, which means he would have done the conditioning to go with it. So I feel like this might be a good 5-round battle. Like, we know Imavov, he's going to stay in the fight for as long as he can. He's going to battle, he's going to push. He's got one loss by guillotine. I think it was his pro debut back in the day, you know, and that goes with the idea of him getting excited sometimes. I do think sometimes he can be emotional and that can tax his conditioning. But I expect this to be a very, very interesting back and forth fight. And I think as long as it's in the striking range, we've got Dolidze, if he's making smart decisions, he's going to be using his kicking game and he's going to break Nassadin Imavov's lead leg down. Just try and slow him down as much as you can, flatten his tires, and then whatever else you want to do on top of that afterwards is going to be easier. For Imavov, I want to be using that in and out motion and trying to get Dolidze to miss as much as possible. He really winds up into his kicks. You can see him stepping through sometimes, and a lot of the time he'll give away that he's going to do a kick. This, to be honest, was one of the things he really struggled with in his middleweight debut against Trevin Giles. He would throw kicks with such a telegraph that Giles was able to just punch over the top and knock him off balance. Something that Imovov is definitely going to be watching out for. He's going to try and counter those kicks with punches. So the more space Imovov gives him, the better, because then Dolidze's got to move through that range to throw the kicks. And because he can be so telegraphed doing it, that's where Imovov has the opportunity to decide whether he wants to move, trying to catch the kick and take him down, try and counter with a straight punch over the top. So the space is going to play well for Imovov. If he has the Dolidze that we saw against Vittoria, where he's trying to march into range and throw punches, again, he needs to be on his toes. Imovov's going to have to use that footwork that we've seen him utilize before. And if Dolidze is not working on his lead leg, then as long as his conditioning's on point, he's going to be able to maintain that movement for the duration of the fight, I would imagine. I mean, you know, he does tend to slow down a little bit, but he has got good footwork, and I do feel like he is the one that's going to make the smarter decisions with his footwork. The risk when Dolidze starts to move forward, because now he's got the confidence in his hands, he's going to throw with heat, and he's going to try and connect and do as much damage as possible, because he doesn't mind falling into a body lock. We saw against Theropoli, he was in that body lock, he was on his case the whole time, and the fight with Jamie and I were just talking about it before we started recording. The finish that always reminds me of Dolidze was the knee against Kyle Daukaus. There are a couple of times where we've seen his flexibility. He's got really good hip dexterity and flexibility, and one of the reasons why he's able to attack leg locks the way that he does and invert the way that he does. But that flexibility transfers into the striking range as well when he's got Kyle Daukaus in a clinch and he can bring his knee up to his shoulder height to crack him in the face and smash his orbital bone. This is where Imovov could get slowed down in this fight. Dolidze right close, throwing power punches into a clinch, controlling him with that body lock, trying to trip him, drag him to the floor, or, you know, potentially drag him into a back take or an ankle lock, but also has to watch those strikes at close range as well, because Dolidze, he's very creative with his striking. You can tell there's a real enjoyment to the work that he does, and when someone's really enjoying what they do, they tend to be more creative, and I think we're going to see that out of both of these guys. Just going back to their takedown defense, so average total fight time leans slightly towards Imovov. Of course, that's because he's had he had that five rounder. Height and reach we've talked about. Strikes landed per minute leans in Imovov's favor, but that's predominantly because he's had longer average fight time and he's been in those ranges where, you know, he's been able to uncork combinations of punches. 53% striking accuracy, 58% striking defense. So they both lean towards Imovov. Now, when it comes to the grappling, both even at 1.7 for submission average, but if you look at their takedown defense, that's where it really stands out, the difference. Roman Dolidze has got 33% takedown offense compared to Imovov at 72%, and I wanted to kind of quantify them a little bit, so I just wanted to check. So Dolidze has 33% takedown offense. He stopped 4 takedowns. He's been taken down 8 times. On the other side, Imovov has stopped 16 takedowns with takedown offense of 72%. I think that's more likely because Dolidze doesn't mind falling to the floor quickly and starting to attack attack submissions. But what that does mean is that if they do get tangled up, Imovov can most likely land in top position if he's prepared to immediately defend submissions, because Dolidze is going to drop for ankles. He is going to try and do chaotic things to try and get a grappling advantage. And Imovov, if he makes smart decisions, he's going to find himself in positions where he's going to be able to hit Dolidze while Dolidze's working on ankles or arms and stuff. So smart anti-grappling from Imovov is going to be a big key, and I do feel like his game does lend itself very well to that. What else? Oh, yes. One thing I will mention about Dolidze is his fight against Jack Hermanson. It took him a while to kind of get Jack Hermanson's rhythm. And Imovov, of course, is, in my opinion, and, you know, it, They're different, of course. It's difficult to compare. But if I'm looking at someone who's a more technical striker and more crisp and clean, I'm going to point you towards Imovov, just because I feel like his technique is sharper and more well-delivered. The thing that was challenging for Dalidze against Hermansson was his movement, his ability to bounce into range and give you the impression that he's going to do something, and then he bounces out again. And, you know, the awkwardness was quite problematic for Dalidze, and that, if I'm Imovov, is something else that I'm going to be looking at. I'm going to try and utilize my in-and-out movement to force Dalidze to freeze up a little bit. This is why, if I was Dalidze, I would try and return to my kicking game the best I can. Because, well, I mean, he's got really conditioned shins. We saw that. I think it was his UFC debut where his opponent kicked him in the shin and he checked it. And his opponent kind of, it was his debut. And his opponent kind of pulled his leg back like, oh, like he really hurt his shin. And you just got this grin come across the face of Dalidze like, yeah, conditioned shins. Come and get it. I would be trying to do as much damage to that lead leg of Imovov as possible, even if he is trying to check those kicks. But I very rarely see him do any kind of lead leg defense. So unless he's added something new to his game, I feel like that's an easy way to get to Imovov. But that would require Dalidze making smart striking decisions and not just kind of get drawn into the, let me show you how powerful my punches are. I think I've mentioned it all. This should be a good scrap. I just hope we don't get those moments where it kind of lags and there's a body lock position and they're both a little bit tired and they're both not really doing too much. It might be a bit of a standoff for a while as well, given the fact that they do both know that one another are rather dangerous with their strikes. But, you know, I think with 25 minutes, something's going to get going. And I think we're going to see quite a mix of ranges in this fight. And it wouldn't surprise me if we see Nassadin Imovov just make better MMA decisions, and that might give him the edge. All right. Enjoy these fights, and I'll see you next time. And I've just remembered, before you go, we're back this weekend with The Aftermath. We'll be streaming at 7 p.m. UK time on Sunday. So come and join me. Questions, tea, rum, whatever you're digging, bring it on Sunday and we'll have a chat about the fights. I think we're going to get some good scraps this weekend. So hopefully there'll be lots to talk about. All right, I'll see you on the live stream.